You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Greetings, friends. Do you wish to look as happy as me? Tune in to your latest episode of The Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got my good friend, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi.
A mighty gobble gobble to you all.
And our other friend,
Brennoside.
How you doing, Brenna?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. Just got back in town. Went and visited the folks.
Yeah.
Did my Thanksgiving a little early. So, got that out of the way. And just got to do one more Thanksgiving with my lady's family. And then I'm done with Thanksgiving. How about you?
I noticed that it's like a theme. Lots of people are starting to just randomly do Thanksgivings throughout the month. I find that the day doesn't matter so much anymore if it doesn't work out for everybody.
Oh, yeah. I've got siblings that are much older. So for like the last, I don't know, like probably 15 years, like we haven't actually done anything on the actual holidays. I spend, you know, like, well, until I met my lady, I've spent every Christmas, you know, alone playing video games, getting drunk, eating pho. So it's been
nice.
It's been great, man. I loved it.
It's not depressing at all, really. I mean, it just sounds like the fucking life.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you were a multimillionaire, you didn't have to work anymore. That's all we would do as human beings anyway.
Pretty much. I struggle. Like, we talked about how much, gosh, who's that billionaire that sucks? Well, all the billionaires suck, but that one billionaire that especially sucks.
Mark Cuban?
No.
Elon Musk?
No.
Warren Buffett?
Warren Buffett. That's the guy.
Yeah, he tries really hard to, like, openly suck the least, but in my view, he sucks the most.
Yeah, I mean, you're a billionaire. You're not even, like, building mega-powered yachts powered by, like, the hearts of African children. You're just like, I go to McDonald's once a week and get a small value meal.
That's how I became a billionaire.
Yeah. Fuck you. But yeah, every you know, independently wealthy person, if they're not, you know, just getting drunk as hell and playing, you know, every video game that they can get their hands on throughout the every day and night, like, I feel like they're wasting it.
Yeah. It's kind of like that old adage in Office Space where he says he's got, like, this dream to do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that really is the dream. I mean, I feel like rich people work way too hard, and the rest of us are just wondering why. Like, why do you need to amass more wealth and keep at it?
Yeah, but their work is essentially spending 19 hours a day hassling their underlings to work harder. That's like, you know, they're not actually, like, putting their nose to the grindstone and, like, you know, mining for ore or doing spreadsheets.
It's all they know how to do.
Yeah.
That's why they don't have normal lives outside of it. Just go, well, I have all this money, I guess I'll just get more money. So,
yeah,
that's why.
I would, if I was, like, a multimillionaire, I would just, like, fund my favorite bands and just, like, go on tour with them even if they don't like me.
So it'd be kind of like the old Medici system where, like, you know, the cartel of the absurdly wealthy Italian folks would have the patronage system where they would, you know, fund their favorite artists and painters and sculptors and castrati and such.
Yeah, I would fund my least favorite artists and just send them to terrible places.
It's kind of like the send Pitbull to perform in Alaska thing.
Yeah. Attila, hope you like Yemen.
Yeah, I would just, like, buy the rights to Emir's music just so I can make sure they make no money off of it.
Which band?
Emir.
Emir, oh, good call, good call.
Emir. Bjork.
I think it's pronounced Emir.
Oh, okay.
Emir.
What does that mean? What does that name mean, by the way? Is that just like...
It's like a fucking mythology thing, I think.
Like a
god or something?
Like Chimera?
Yeah, some bullshit like that. Some stupid fucking crap that no one cares about.
Just assumed it was like an obscure anime character or something.
That too. I mean, those things are not mutually exclusive.
Right.
You can have a weird anime character named after stuff that exists.
So, over the weekend, my lady and I, we learned how to make soap by hand. And then we went out and shot large guns. For folks that I've threatened on the show over the years, I just want to let you know you got nothing to worry about. My eyesight is getting worse and I can't hit anything.
Great. Good. When you guys were learning to make soap, did you break into any like liposuction dumpsters?
So you don't necessarily have to use rendered fat. You need to use some kind of oil. We chose coconut oil in addition to, you know, your lye mixture and stuff. But the rendered fat just stinks. That's the big barrier to getting into that. That and, you know, stealing it from dumpsters.
Yeah, that whole thing. I noticed that natural soap always has that kind of nasty stink to it. That just all natural soaps smell the same to me, unless they're like these really specific woodsy manly ones. Like if you were to get all the like lady ones, they all have that same kind of weird clay like stink to them.
Mine smell like buttercream, so I don't know where they fucked up, but my shit's legit.
Yeah. So you were shooting guns. Making your own soap. Yep. When do we get the official Toilet of Hell prepper zine from you? Because that sounds like that's the road you're going down.
That is definitely the road that I'm going down. It's not even a joke. I'm looking at doing the prerequisite work to kind of go back to school to get in the medical field and be able to put people back together after they've had an arm blown off.
You're going to start raising your own chickens. You're going to learn how to make your own fallout shelter. And you're going to buy excess amounts of like canned beans and Spam. And then you're going to accidentally lock yourself in it and suffocate to death.
During the winter months, you're just going to have a sled attached to an army of pugs that drags you through.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know you guys are joking, but yes, I am going to do all of those things.
Sick.
Yeah, well, I'm over here prepping. What are you guys doing?
Well, for the 8 billionth time, I'm sure someone out there is like scratching this on the wall. I'm back at the gym again.
Nice.
I'm on a diet again. Like the missus and I finally took the plunge and we bought one of those like food in a box things. I won't tell you guys which one because advertising is just rampant for those things in podcasts, and I don't want to give anybody a shout out that doesn't deserve it for not paying us. So, but it's like you pretty much buy this box and then you get what you get for a meal and that's it. You eat your one bowl and it's done. And if you didn't like it, too bad.
Why don't I just give you like a list of recipes for the week and you just get those from the store?
Oh, fuck you. I'm doing it this way. This way's cool.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the, you know, whatever box, those people, in addition to, you know, advertising on the worst podcasts on the airwaves, they've set up shop like outside of my office on the street corner so they can harass me. Like, do you have time to cook? I'm like, yes. Fuck you.
Yes.
No, and you just start crying in public.
And I was amazed. It's like they don't even pre-chop anything for you. You got to do it all yourself anyway.
Yeah, so like I don't get it. Like, why don't you just, you know, pick out your recipes for the week, go to the store, get those supplies, and do them up.
I think it's just, I mean, honestly, the real reason is because my wife and I have like a big issue with waste. We throw out a lot of food at the end of the week, and we're spending a lot of money that we probably don't need. Not to mention, like, we're getting seconds and thirds, and it's not good for us. So we're just, you know, this system kind of reins us in, and it keeps us organized. And you know, it's not for everybody, sure, but it's for the guy who's trying to lose 100 pounds.
Trying to lose a whole 100 pounds?
I'm trying to lose 100 fucking pounds.
Damn. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah. It's like one Jordan.
I'm honored you think I weigh 100 pounds. Thank you.
That's right. Jordan's a buff dude. He's just cut.
Yeah.
Cut like a pillow.
Also, his body is riddled with pain and disease.
Right. Hey man, him and Ron Coleman too. It's just that's
true. Yeah, yeah. Jordan, you're doing the you got the same problems that old Ronnie Coleman has.
That's right.
Yeah, without you know, steroids.
All natural, baby.
Well, I mean, like part of your recovery will be probably steroid injections to to kind of heal that area, I bet.
So what they're getting at, because we were talking about this before and not on the air, is that I've been having back problems and neck problems and shoulder problems and arm problems for like a year now. And finally, after doing various things, got an MRI done, was told I have a bulging disc. And the doctor's like, what do you want to do now? And I'm like, just inject me with cortisone, please make this stop. So gonna have to get that done eventually. We'll see. Having this problem during a holiday season isn't the best because people take off. The, you know, doctor's offices and hospitals are much busier because people are doing stupid things like trying to fry frozen turkeys and exploding their garages. So eventually it's going to happen. But for now, I just have to deal with pain.
Yeah. You should stand on a stepladder and just plunk it in there, Cletus.
Started frying turkeys a couple of years ago, and I gotta say, like, the moment where you drop it into the burning oil is terrifying, just because I've seen so many like YouTube videos of somebody throwing at 90 miles an hour a fully frozen turkey into burning oil.
It's your whole life flashes before your eyes and you just hear that splash and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Drop it in and go fuck. Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of King of the Hill where Hank is terrified that the propane is gonna blow him up so you can't activate the grill.
Except if I was a multimillionaire, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to hear more about the multimillionaire deals.
If I was a multimillionaire, this band that I would fund and make go on tour with me, I would like make sure that we fried a turkey in the parking lot of the venue every single night.
So the cool thing about frying a turkey is that, you know, you have like a week of leftovers. How much turkey do you think you and your band can take down per night?
I mean, we're just gonna have random dudes in the parking lot come feast, man. I'm a philanthropist.
You talk about things that like can make people go out to shows, and you know, so we got Rob Crow of Anal Trump coming to talk to us in a few. Sorry, I didn't introduce that earlier. He has some really cool ideas about crowd participation in between sets. That we'll hear about, and I think that he has some good stuff there. But you've got something even better, which is before the sets, go ahead and, you know, get your chow on with a whole fried ass turkey with the band before, you know, the doors even open. I think these things might just save the music industry.
Right, and it's just like you see these guys, they're out there. Sometimes you'll look at like a Patreon, and there's like a $500 tier, and you see two people giving to it, and it's like, this has got to be either mom and dad or some super fucking rich kid who just likes seeing video games on YouTube that much. So I think that those super rich kids should just you know, fry turkeys out in the parking lot every night of a band's tour with the band and fund their entire project. I mean, there should be no merch table, just fried turkey for all.
Well, how about a fixin's table? You could sell stuffing and cranberry sauce and yams and, you know, all of that sort of thing every night. So that's how you kind of recoup some of the money.
The turkey is free, but if you want the stuffing, you're going to fucking pay, pal.
No, it's the people's stuffing.
The people's turkey.
That's right. This is the people's turkey. I am not so greedy as to not share the wealth.
Yeah, man. Go ahead. Fill up your plate with mashed potatoes, but the gravy, $400.
You know, honestly, I think this is totally doable with like a budget of $2,000.
I like the idea of, you know, of course this is like festive, Thanksgiving's coming up and all. It'd be, you know, if you were on tour at this time, you couldn't see your family on Thanksgiving, I think it'd be a fun and good idea to put out a platter for folks that are coming to see you. But you should do this too in, you know, March, in the middle of August. Go ahead and fry that hot ass turkey in 400 degree oil in the middle of August. Because, you know, this is just a good time for everyone, all year round.
Oh, yeah, man. You can have like watermelon on your turkey. It's delicious.
That does, you know, I was going to say that sounds gross, but I've never had it. It could be delightful.
It's like a watermelon sherbet. You got like iced tea and you, I don't know, man. I'm just thinking about eating stuffing in August.
Okay.
And my head's broken.
Well, I guess if you're bringing the fryer with you, don't necessarily have to dunk a turkey in there. The deep fryer is great for anything. You can just put Twinkies in there.
I suppose, yeah. We could with some Snickers bars.
Yeah.
We have a big festival every year, like one of those big stupid Tri-County fairs where they just fry everything. You get like fried Oreos, fried peanut butter cups, fried Snickers bars, and one of them was fried Kool-Aid. And I guess how it works is it's just like a dough ball of Kool-Aid that's fried. Mm. It's the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Yeah,
and I put some shit in my mouth.
That's it. Well, all the state fairs, they do this thing every year where they try to outdo each other. I've heard of fried beer, which, you know, it's the same kind of thing, just a beer within a bowl that's fried. The thing about it that it all has in common is it's all bad. None of it's good.
Right. I think that we should start a GoFundMe where I go on tour with some random band. I don't know. Horrendous. They're cool. I'll go on band tour with them, and I'll be frying turkeys and beer every night.
Yeah, instead of having a merch girl, you got a fry guy.
It's a fry guy, hell yeah. You got it's a $2,000 goal, but I guess I got to price out some of those fry laters.
Yeah, you put your little tip jar next to you. It's like, you know, family got kidnapped by ninjas, need money for karate lessons and also third-degree burns. Please tip me.
Yeah, you could have three tip jars out, and one's Bulbasaur, and one's Squirtle, and one's Charmander. And then you got to pick your favorite of the three.
Oh, that's a good one. I haven't seen that one before.
No, that's a freebie from good old Breno. Uncle Breno's got your guys' back. Put it out there.
So we're all into tipping our servers and all that. Do you tip a merch guy?
I've never tipped a merch guy in my life.
Yeah,
it's a new thing. They have the tip jars out. Like, if you don't feel like dropping a 20 on a shirt or something, you can give them a buck or something. Oh. That's kind of a new thing I see around in the merch tables these days.
I've seen that for years, and I guess I tip, you know, well, all of any party that serves me, you know, the guy that cuts my hair to the person that gets me a beer, like, I tip really, really well because the service industry sucks. But I've never felt a compulsion to tip a merch guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Am I a bad leftist for that? Let me know in the comments.
I mean, if you got a show with like 11 people in it and 13 bands, I can't imagine he's working that hard.
I don't know, man. I guess I've never considered the economics of being a merch guy. Like, you're probably not doing very well, I guess, for, you know. Everybody knows that, you know, it's difficult to make any money in a band as it is. Like, the merch guy's probably got it even worse. I don't know. Any of you guys ever slung merch for a band?
Just my own.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I know people who doing merch is essentially their job. Like, they just tour with different bands and like they get paid. Some of them get paid to do merch. So, if you got an extra buck or something, you want to toss it to them, I think that's fine. I don't know if it's not on the same level as, say, a barber or a bartender, I think, in terms of giving a tip.
I guess I never realized that, is that, like, there's full-time merch guys who go out there and just sling merch for all sorts of groups.
Well, that's on a much bigger level. I'm saying, yeah. Your local, you know, metal band playing on a Tuesday night in front of 20 people is not paying their merch guy if they even have one.
Sure.
I'm saying someone who works for, you know, Avril Lavigne or something like that could be hired by a company.
I guess I just always imagined in my head that the merch guy for any large group was just like their personal slave and had to like live in a closet for like, you know, 211 days out of the year until it was time to go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kind of bursting my bubble here.
I'm just imagining like a professional merch guy that has like his LinkedIn all set up with recommendations from folks that he's worked with through the years and like a formal resume ready to go.
Yeah, like his references.
It's people that want to tour but don't have a band or even play an instrument but still, I guess, want to be a part of it, and that's one way to do it.
I guess so, man. That seems like you kind of get the worst of all worlds with it, though.
Right? Like, I want the worst parts of being a rock star, and that's it.
I think it's also a way to travel and see the world and see the bands presumably you like or at least tolerate. And it's, you know, people do grad school to shirk responsibility, too, so this is kind of a low-key version of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And costs a lot less.
That's true.
True life. I was stuck on the road with, like, I don't know, Chris Barnes.
Holding his hair as he throws up every night.
Ugh. Oh, God. That would make me throw up every night. I'd just throw up into his hair.
Make it smell better.
That's how it stays in such tightly packed dreads.
Ah, there you go. Now it all makes sense. Oh, here's a bit of news. We're recording this on Monday. Tomorrow, they're going to open up the first officially totally licensed, totally legal pot shop in Massachusetts.
Has everyone been extremely annoying about it?
Not really, actually. I don't think anyone's as excited. We've been smoking illegally all this time, so we're kind of set. But it's exciting. You know, I feel like if you told 14-year-old Brenna this, his mind would explode. So they're going to sell the whole nut. They got oils and brownies, and you can buy the bud. You can buy pre-rolled joints. They got candies, and they actually have suppositories, which I was like,
yeah,
you're just shoving weed up your ass. That's cool.
That's a special show we'll do. I want you to go ahead and plug some weed up your butthole, and we'll record an episode.
Hell yeah, man. But yeah, it's been a long time coming, and I think the rest of the states of the union are following suit. We're gonna get in on this new cash crop deal, and we're gonna be cool as hell.
My problem is that weed these days versus the weed that I could get in high school, way too strong. I'm looking, you know, I'm not trying to smoke that loud, trying to hit that Reggie, trying to get some low mids. You feel me?
Yeah, man, I agree. But I don't know. You could probably talk to your local weed specialist at one of these here shops here, and they could probably set you up with something real mellow. They probably know what's up.
Yeah. Just sell me like a bunch of oregano with seeds in it for $40 a gram. Just like I'm in high school again.
You know, sprinkle it on your Doritos at school and get kicked out for a week.
Oh, it's like you were there with me.
No. We were all there with you, Joe.
Yeah, no, we were all wearing the same smelly Megadeth shirt.
I have no idea what any of you are talking about. This is fascinating.
Before we get into the interview, I do want to mention that Megadeth shared this tiny, tiny clip of their new drummer. It's a guy from Soilwork, and he was playing blast beats in the new Megadeth song.
Wild. I figured he would have been fired for pulling that kind of shit.
Yeah. And Dave Mustaine roasted him for having like his bag of chips in the chute. He's like, oh, now I can't share this online because we're going to find out your secret. It's your kettle chips right there. Like he's some kind of fucking dad.
I mean, he is some kind of fucking dad.
Some kind of dad.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. It's close. Pretty close. But yeah, what we're going to do here is we're going to talk to Rob Crow about Anal Trump and his partner in crime, Travis from Cattle Decapitation. He does the vocals for Anal Trump. We're going to talk about making your own karaoke mixes. We're going to talk about Topo Chico, how to tour with 900 bands while having like five kids. Five kids. That's what he said. There's interesting. Okay, so I forgot about this. Rob Crow does Anal Trump. He also does Goblin Cock, if you remember them, kind of silly band. I guess his biggest band is called Pinback, which I recall because guys that I lived with my freshman year of college, we would smoke weed together, and they would play that band. So it kind of all comes together full circle on this one.
So before we get into the interview, we do have to talk about this. It is the holiday season once again, and for those of you who are new to the show or just don't remember, every year since we've been doing the show, we do a gift exchange. We send each other whatever, fun things, useful things. We open it up on the air. We say what we've got. We have a big laugh. It's a fun time, and this is your chance to send us some nice things because we like nice things, and I'd like to think we deserve, well, not terrible things. So what you could do is send us an email, toiletofhellradio@gmail.com, and that's of with a V because we have to stay on brand. Or you could send us a direct message, toiletofhell@365daysofhorror@JoeThrashandKill, and just say you want to take part in it. Give us your full name, your address. We'll send you our names and our address, and you could send us nice things. How's that sound to you guys?
Yeah, I like nice things.
Yeah, man. Last year, I think it was a good boy, Grump Dumpus. He scared the shit out of my wife by sending me a mysterious package from Sweden. So that was fun. That was cool. And he loaded it with like probably the greatest gag gifts of all time. I remember for the three of us, he really went all out. So it's a lot of fun. We open them up on air and we, you know, have a good laugh and, you know, yeah, send us some stuff, dudes. We appreciate it. And it lets us know you love us.
Yeah. I have on my coffee table the Swedish poop board game for children that Grandpa sent us.
And he sent me a crotch monster CD.
Yeah.
How can you top that?
You had a recommendation for what we were going to do with Crotch Monster. We ought to explore that in more detail one day.
Yes, that's a teaser for a future episode.
Send us the things. Whatever. I'll send you guys soap and I don't know, whatever else I'm making in my prepper bunker.
Instructions on how to purify and bottle your own urine.
Yeah, what a world future. All right, let's do the interview.
Whoa! Yes. Whoa!
Yes, the Donald is good.
You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. We're joined today by Rob Crow, aka Lord Phallus, aka Rob Trump of Pinback, Goblin Cock, and Anal Trump, respectively. How's it going, Rob?
How's it going, man? Good.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well, you know. Just been looking at, you know, the news today and everything that's horrible. We were kind of wondering, just, you know, talking right before we got on the call with you, we were listening to your new record and, you know, just remembering, like, oh, I forgot that he said that, or I forgot that horrible bullshit there. Do you have, like, a notebook that you write down just every despicable things that you can go back to it later when everybody's forgotten when the next seven horrible things have happened?
Yeah, not a notebook, but I make notes on my phone.
Smart.
Whenever something hits me.
So if you ever lose that phone, someone's going to find it and see all those notes and be very scared.
No. The least of their problems.
So the new record is actually a collection of a lot of things. The first 100 songs. And Anal Trump, if for folks that may not be familiar, is a collaboration between you and Travis Ryan of Cattle Decapitation. We, you know, we're big fans of Cattle Decap here. Have you guys been friends for long?
Yeah, it seems that way. It just kind of, yeah. See each other at shows. He recorded like a physics thing a while back. We hang out at karaoke.
That's awesome. What kind of songs do you guys like to sing at karaoke?
I don't remember what he used to do. I haven't gone in a long while. I like a little long distance run around. In fact, I made some karaoke songs that I could just carry around on a thumb drive if I go to a place and I want to do stuff. I like to do like a Bally High from South Pacific, but I also made a few like Don't Talk to Me by the Jabbers and Sailors Board Me Now by the Frogs.
So yeah, you're kind of like on the avant-garde edge of karaoke.
I don't know. I just like what I like.
That's you know, that's just a much better answer in general than saying that you were going to do Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, that never needs to, I don't know. See, for a while there I did a whole tour where, well, it used to be back, I hate having to listen to whatever the house music is for when you go to a show or when you play a show, rather, and then, you know, they put on the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Pearl Jam or something while people are drinking, and like, oh God, I don't want to be associated with these things. Those things, you know, they're fine. There's nothing wrong with liking those things, I assume, but they're, but I don't want them to be associated with the things that I'm, you know, it's usually like the most god awful thing. And so I made, so the first thing I started doing was, since I, that band had a bunch of visuals anyway, I just hooked up a karaoke machine to it and made a bunch of karaoke books. And as soon as people would walk in the doors, I would hand, I would hand out, like, I had like five books that people could share, and whoever wanted to come up could come up and do whatever. And I gotta say, almost every night somebody did Don't Stop Believing, and it would bring the house down no matter what person did it. And it, and even though it was terrible, I never want to hear it again, except for, you know, the version on the Atari, the Journey Atari 2600 game.
Journey Escape.
Yeah, so good. That version's dope. But it always put people in a good mood. And then they could just, then they're, then they get all drunk and happy, and they could just handle whatever garbage we end up throwing at them. It's a bad night.
That is incredible. That I've never heard of anybody doing that before, and it's brilliant. You really you get your audience like in the mood and participating before you even go on.
Right. Doesn't work for every kind of band, but the band I was touring with at the time, it totally was great.
That rules. Well,
I can't anymore.
Sorry, what did you say?
I don't have the energy to do that and all the other things I have to do.
Well, you are in
anymore, though.
How many bands would you say that you're in right now? Because it's, I can't count it.
There's a whole lot. Like this year, I did a box set of all new material with 11 different albums by 11 different bands that I'm doing.
Wow.
And there's, but there's other stuff, you know, there's more than that.
So you are, you're like a machine, because you also have a family, right?
Right. I have no, I have zero free time to do anything. I don't know how I'm pulling anything off.
I guess with 11 records, like how much music do you think you put out in like a given week? Cause it seems like so, so much material.
Sometimes it's a lot, but other times it's like, I wonder if I'm ever going to write anything ever again.
Is there a genre you're thinking of doing next that maybe you haven't tackled before?
Well, I do have, there's a project with some people that I haven't really released anything with that I'm excited about doing, but I don't know if it's a new genre for me. But I mean, I like to kind of make up genres anyway, you know, But in the case of like say Goblin Cock or Anal Trump, obviously they're already there's already the genre already, you know, there. And yeah, I don't remember what I was going with that.
with Anal Trump specifically, I mean, obviously the name is an homage to Anal Cunt. Were you a fan of Seth Putnam's work back in the day?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely. I mean, even when it's horribly offensive, it's so horribly offensive that it can't be taken seriously by anyone. And there's an art to that, I think.
I tend to agree with you. I wrote a really long piece on Anal Cunt a couple of years ago, and it made some people mad that I would, like, you know, give the guy the time of day. But Nope. I mean, it's really, really transgressive art. There, you know, rare. It's rare that kind of thing makes it to the public consciousness, like Anal Cunt.
Yeah, or like, and I always have this thing about originality, where, you know, when you have somebody like Gigi, the most transgressive dude that there ever was and ever will be, you know, I feel great about being a fan of Gigi, even though, you know, some of his things are potentially abhorrent, whether, you know, if they're, you know, like if his attitudes towards children sometimes,
right.
You know, if our real are like abhorrent and, you know, should be dealt with. But the fact that he went out there and he did stuff that is so fucked up that nobody could ever compare to it. I don't think anybody has the right to think that they're a badass at all. Like, oh, you think you're fucking cool with your leather jacket and your sunglasses? Well, how about this guy?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you guys can all go fuck yourselves because there's this guy.
Yeah.
So why don't we all just get down to, like, doing stuff that we think is cool and look out for each other and have fun instead of trying to be the biggest cock of the fucking room.
Taking a shit on stage and beating yourself with a microphone is way more badass than wearing a leather jacket will ever be.
Right.
So with the first 100 songs with Anal Cut Material, it's all it's all just really solid grind. Is grindcore something that you've been into for a long time? Because it's just such a stark departure from your other projects.
Oh, definitely. It's just something I never thought I'd be able to pull off in an honest way. I never wanted to, you know, put out false anything. And, you know, because it's hard to find people to play that stuff with. And if I were to try to sing those songs myself, I would give it everything I had and I would try to do the best I can, but it wouldn't work. And I knew that it would be false. So getting Travis to do it, like, it's amazing. He's like the Wolverine of what in that he's the best there is at what he does. It blows my mind just working, like, doing any, like, recording him it's a treat to be around. He just comes up with so much amazing stuff just out of his body, you know.
Yeah, he does have just an incredible voice. What is your process like for collaborating on these songs?
It's mostly I'll record all the stuff except for the vocals, and I have the vocals all written out so that he could see them on the screen. And he comes over to my house, and because we rarely have any free time, because he works hard at what he does, and I have the five kids and all that business, and we're both on tour all the time. So when we're not on tour and we actually have free time where he can come over, we try to get as much door to time as possible. and it's always worthwhile. It's always great. We always get a ton done in the hour or two sessions that we get to hang out.
That rules. That rules. So with the release of the first 100 songs, there was a press release that came along with it that said that you were putting out a very limited edition, deluxe edition. You get one copy of 100 individual 1-inch records, including a specialty, specially modified turntable, all proceeds benefiting your super PAC. Just for fun, I went ahead and clicked, and I can go all the way through the checkout process on Joyful Noise's website, and I've never had $10,000, but I'm really tempted to see what happens when it goes through.
Yeah, there's only one of those, so it's only going to happen once. Isn't a thing set up. I hope it's set up so that if two people accidentally do it, that would suck. But yeah, that's a real thing. That we made the proof of concept discs, and I'm very excited about it.
So this is a real thing that exists?
Yeah, yeah. The pictures are of the real one of the real records.
That is, wow, I had no. I thought it was a goof. I really thought that it was just kind of a.
No, no.
That is incredible. No, I am so blown away right now.
The super PAC is real. I haven't had a good talk with a lawyer yet to know exactly what it does and what I can do with it and what I can say with it. Because I know there are those weird rules that you could do this if you don't say it's this, and even though it's the same thing. So I can't talk too much about it because I'm ignorant. But at the moment,
if you had a super PAC that wasn't necessarily this one, it was an entirely different hypothetical one, what would you want to do with it?
Well, the idea behind it is just to be able to, you know, support charities of our choice.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. I saw that some of the the charities that you're supporting are is it RAIN is one of them as well. What and the is it the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Excuse me?
Is it the Southern Poverty Law Center as well? Another one that you're going for?
I don't even remember what we're up to at this point.
It seems like there's a fair amount.
Yeah, there is at least three different charities that, like the that we've been after the first 7-inch. Okay, here's like when I did the first EP's worth of material, I was just thinking, oh, we'll just put it on Bandcamp, and it, you know, we'll tell a few people, but who knows? But it immediately just got a lot of attention, which was great. And Travis was like, I got to put this out. So Travis put out the first 7-inch, and then we started. I wanted to keep doing 5-inches, little EPs that we could just totally. And with the Bandcamp, people would start giving us, you know, money, even though it was free. They would just like donate money because they thought it was cool, which I thought was awesome. So I was like, but I felt a little guilty. So it's a since then we tried to put out a bunch of 5-inches that we'd give all the proceeds to different charities. And we did mostly with the help of Joyful Noise and Carl, which I'm very thankful for, because we didn't know what to do, how to go about it, but they've done a lot of cool charitable work in the past, and they were totally on board to help us out. Yeah.
That rules that it rules that you're legitimately doing something good with this, because I mean it's all coming from just the worst possible situation.
Right. There's a lot of hate and bile and terror and this fucked up shit, and somehow, like, no matter how low we can get with it, it all comes out into a good place.
It's really cool that you're doing that. What was your thought process like on election night in 2016? Like, did you think he had any chance of winning?
Of course. Anything could happen at any time. I've toured the world, and I understand the basic thought processes and the way public minds work in general, place-wise. And especially, I mean, I think everybody should really travel, even if it's just the United States, probably especially the United States, to understand the way people think and why they think that way. People, you know, aren't inherently bad, but people get sold a bill of goods and they have no way of checking things. There's all sorts of reasons behind why people make decisions that are bad for them, you know.
When it comes to writing and recording these anal Trump songs, is there a catharsis in doing all this, or is it just kind of reminding you of all the bad things?
Just about everything I do artistically is catharsis, or want to listen to, even if it's, you know, from the most brutal this or that to like some Judy Garland. It's a catharsis.
So if Trump were ever to resign, be indicted, die on the toilet, no longer be president, does anal Trump stop or does anal Trump continue?
It all depends. I thought about it. I would love the excuse to just not have to use the crutch of it being that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to make this fucked up music for for pure just fun of it purposes. But I'd still need to write about something, I guess. But, you know, it all depends if the situation just gets worse. Like, what if the Pence after that? But although a Pence band should sound totally different.
What would that sound like?
There's a Pence band song. Like, I've already written 140 songs for the new album.
Wow.
That Travis wants to put his vocals on.
Wow.
But the Pence band is an oi band for sure.
Yeah, I kind of
like a really homophobic ultra right Christian oi band.
The Mother EP.
I just imagine some kind of like 50s Jan and Dean type deal, just with all the lyrics about a Christian white nation.
Jan and Dean did a pretty cool record. Oh, fuck. Never mind. I don't want to get into that.
I will say it is.
They tried to do their Pet Sounds, and it didn't work out.
Oh my god! That I have to hear that. I'm so curious. It seems like a lot of artists that you wouldn't expect had a bit of an experimental streak in them. I was thinking about the Monkees the other day with their Head album.
Head, yeah. I just was struck by the thing, like, a lot of my favorite music is people trying to be Pet Sounds and failing. If I try to write Pet Sounds, my failure might be like the best thing I ever did.
I mean, it'll certainly be interesting. For some reason,
might be just terrible. Although Goblin Cock did just do a cock opera a couple of years ago. I guess that might count.
I think so. For folks that maybe aren't familiar with Goblin Cock, it is, you know, a very different vein than the extreme grindcore of Anal Trump. I'd say it's more in line with, I don't know, I would say 70s hard rock or trad metal from the 80s. Well, what would you call it?
Definitely when it started out, it was just like, I wanted to make the slowest, loudest thing that I could, and I wanted the live shows to be like really loud and as bare bones as possible. Like, if Kiss had no money, and all I could do was just like hide behind stuff.
Kiss would be a better band if they didn't have any money. That's probably my opinion.
Oh, of course. But I mean just visually. So it's just like cloaks, like before Sun, I think, or differently than Sun. It was just like too much fog and cloaks and it's loud and you can't tell who anybody is ever, and nobody wants credit for it anyway, type of thing. But it changed over the years, I guess.
With specifically with Anal Trump, and Jordan was kind of touching on it, like, let's say that Trump disappears. What do you see, I guess, the future of, I don't know, the American political state being after this? Because I feel like there's no going back to kind of a whatever normality there was before this.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't, you know, wasn't the best thing in the world before this. It's just people refusing to learn from the past to take accountability for anything. Like, this all happened before to other people in other places, and here's how it works, and here's what happens when that happens. But, you know, everybody's short-term or just too fucked up.
Do you see any way of, like, I don't know, shaking that cycle?
Education. But, you know, I need as much education as the next guy, all of that, you know. I'm not saying I know anything that other people don't. But, you know, everything helps, you know, to learn to learn things, to learn more truths about things, instead of relying on dogma or things you know don't really exist in the first place. Just not being afraid to be held accountable for anything. People just wanted to treat everybody like they want to be treated. I think everything would be a lot cooler.
Like just a pretty fair, like, you know, pretty solid, I'd say maybe like a golden rule of things.
So we were talking about Goblin Cock, and I remembered from my time in living in Chicago that Kuma's had a Goblin Cock burger, and I was just curious if you ever had the chance to actually have it.
Well, I'm a vegetarian, but if I'm ever touring with people that aren't and we stop by Kuma's, I offer to buy whoever wants one. one just so I could watch them eat it, take a picture.
Right. You need to ask Kumas to, like, have some input on your own burger. You'd think they'd want to ask.
Well, I don't, you know, do what you got to do.
They can do the Beyond Burger now.
That would be dope. Beyond Burger. I'm fully on board for the Beyond Burger.
Oh, yeah.
The Impossible Burger. The wife likes the Impossible Burger, and I like the Beyond Burger, and that kind of is our relationship.
How can you overcome that kind of strife within your relationship?
I don't know, man. True love.
I got a Beyond sausage the other day, and that shit was delicious. I'm so super into that.
Yeah, I'm way into it. It's really hard to get. They're hard to come by, pretty much. But yeah, I agree. They are.
I enjoy Morningstar.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's nothing wrong with a Griller Prime every now and then.
Yeah, some, you know, fake buffalo chicken nuggets. They're not bad.
Sorry. Sorry.
Choking on some veggie nuggets over there.
Topo Chico.
Topo Chico. No, that's my jam right there.
Yeah, do they have Topo Chico in Southern California?
Where are you guys at?
I'm in Austin, Texas, and Jordan is in Rhode Island.
Oh. Yeah, Austin, Texas is where all the that's mostly is, but it's starting to come out here hither and thither, and I can usually find it at like Mexican bodegas and stuff for really cheap.
Oh, that's awesome. I was trying to tell somebody about this, and they're like, I can't believe that you're crazy about drinking Mexican water.
It's the best, man. It's the best.
It really is. My secret is I put a little dash of bitters in there. You got yourself a flavor sensation.
Yeah.
You said that you're interested in maybe doing some shows, perhaps some touring based on Anal Trump. Any idea when that might happen?
Not exactly sure because, you know, the two of us are always on tour. But we have a guy to play bass and we have a guy to play drums, theoretically. Both of them are on other tours at this moment as well. And but it doesn't seem like the most difficult thing, you know, to just learn everything and run through it. And I have a lot of ideas about how to go about it as well. It should be fun, you know, just a hit and run kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, with the first 100 songs, you're looking at like a running time, if you weren't stopping in between songs, of about like 11 minutes. What would be your ideal like stage time on this?
15 minutes.
Nice. Keep it punk rock time.
Yeah, some of the best fucking shows I've ever seen are less than 15 minutes, and everybody's like, that's perfect amount of time.
Yeah, and you get to go home early. Everyone's happy.
Well, yeah. Depends on when you start.
because you do so much touring, like, is it, is it difficult to do this and also, like, you know, maintain your family life as well?
It is definitely hard to do because I'm the house husband. The wife works full time. And she works the night shift, usually 12-hour shifts. And so I got the 5 kids, including the 2 toddlers.
Wow.
That I got to make sure, you know, just to get them, everybody to schools and their dentists and all those things, make sure everybody's fed, make sure everybody gets their naps, all that stuff, keep the house in some sort of order, not nearly as good of an order as my wife would like, but still, you know, that's crazy time.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you're able to do all of these things.
Thanks.
What do the kids think about some of the music you make?
I think they like it. I don't really, you know, I don't play it around them, but I mean, I'm not keeping it from them, but you know, I usually work downstairs, and unless they come downstairs it's not like I take it upstairs to rock out to, like, check it out. This is yeah, see how cool I am. Although they do have to endure stuff when I'm mixing like a full record. I'll have to listen to that on the way to take them to school and back, because that's the only time I have to like listen in the car.
Do they have music that they prefer when you're riding together?
Oh, no, they always have to deal with what I'm listening to in the car.
So it's no Baby Shark.
But I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's like
my toddler.
I was just going to say, that's like the big popular song now with like toddlers.
Oh, really? My two toddler twins seem really into the Beastie Boys.
Hmm.
Which is, even though I've heard it to death and, you know, it's like, well, this could be, you know, this could be a elbow right now. So it keeps them happy.
That's awesome.
What are your upcoming plans, I guess, in the next couple months, music wise? Like, what else is coming up?
Well, as soon as Travis and I get some free time together, we're trying to finish the 140 song album. Plus there's a split on 3-1-G where he just has to put some vocals on, and there's, you know, and we're down for whatever extra EPs, like fun stuff, and planning on figuring out how we're going to start playing shows. I would love to be able to just play, like do a tour that's one day long and just go to a bunch of places, do our set, hit and run, hit and run, hit and run, hit and run, or as far as I can get in one day. All sorts of fun ideas. But what else? This the last record of the box set that I've been putting out one a month basically comes out this month. And then the boxes are all sold out already, but you could buy downloads of them, I guess. And then we're theoretically come out as at least on as albums over the internet after that. I'm not sure about physical things. Of those, the only non-box versions of records from the box are this Anal Trump record and the Octagon Lior's record. I'm also starting work with some to writing. I have an album of songs written with some other people that is going to be, I'm really excited about starting to get that going after we finally pick a drummer.
That's a hell of a lot of things coming up. That's impressive, man.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to inform the listeners of the Toilet Hell Radio Show about?
I don't know, but it'd be real nice if everybody looked out for each other and helped anybody that need help, and just be nice.
Hell yeah.
You know, I don't want to tell anybody what to do.
I think saying be nice isn't necessarily telling people what to do. It's a good suggestion.
Cool. Well, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for taking your time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. Guess what, folks?
Department stores, they have the bells and they have the red walls and they have the snow.
What happened on the cross actually happened for me.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.